Have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Father, we look to you today. We just pray, Father, the spirit and the heart of the scripture of that we're looking at today, Father, will come forth to us, that will change us from glory to glory by your spirit, Lord, and by your word. So impart this to us today, Lord, and I ask this today for all of us today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. We said last time that verse 28, all things work together, and it's in the present tense. It means it works together and it continues to work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called or invited according to His purpose, according to God's intention and His determination and His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And we spent time last time speaking about God's foreknowledge a little bit from Jeremiah chapter 1. And we said that God's foreknowledge means that basically that God knows intimately these individuals that He predestinated. And it says here, or it said in Jeremiah chapter 1, that God knew Jeremiah not when he was conceived, not when he was brought forth, but before he was conceived, before his conception, God knew everything about him. Now we see also, we looked a little bit last week in Ephesians chapter 1, and it said that predestination was before the foundation of the world, is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. So predestination was not in the realm of time as we know it. It wasn't that God looked at you and says, hey, well, he's doing so good, you know, and then he made a choice or something like that. It's that it says we were predestinated in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so God intimately knew and intimately knew individuals. And we said last time this, that there's a couple of different things about predestination. In predestination here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we see that predestination, well, first of all, we said, no, what is predestination? And I gave you a definition. I'll give that to you again. But we looked at the scriptures in which the New Testament uses this particular Greek word to predestinate. It's used six times in the New Testament. and it's used several times for the word predestined and predestinate. And then it's used in Acts 4:28 to, as it's translated into English, to determine beforehand. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, it's used as the word ordained. And in that context, it was ordained before, is actually the way that it's used in that context. And I said that the definition that I liked, that I use most frequently, is to break down that word, predestinate, to be pre, the word pre, which means beforehand, and destinate to means to give a destiny to. So God, in His foreknowledge, knew intimately individuals, and He pre, beforehand, gave a destiny to them. And we see here in Romans 8:29 that that destiny was to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that word conform means this, to take the same form, to be similar to the likeness or image of His Son. God's will for the believer is this, and it's not just His will that may not take place. It's not His will that maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. It is God's will to bring the believer to conformity, to be the same form, similar to, like His very own Son. That is our destiny. We are going to be like Him. Even John said that in 1 John. We don't know what He's like, but when He appears, we know that we will be like Him. Okay? So we're going to be like Jesus. And that goes on to say here in Romans 8:29, it says, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the likeness or image of His Son. That is our destiny. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the first among a family. Okay? The firstborn was usually the first one that came forth in a family, the first one to be born. And Jesus is the first of many that will follow, many brethren or many brothers and sisters, that we will be just like Him. Okay? Now, we also looked at Ephesians chapter 1. We might look at there again real quickly. But Ephesians chapter 1, and we looked at these verses. I want to look at them just again real quick for our review. It says, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And part of these spiritual blessings, these blessings that have their origin from heaven, is this. Verse 4, it says, According as He hath, first of all, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I want you to notice who's making the choice. Okay? It says, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Okay? And we said, right here, here's the choice, that we should be holy, that we should be set apart unto God, and that we should be without blame before Him in love. Now, I believe that what God has in mind for us, the chosen ones, is that He has set us apart. That is, that we might be holy. That is, that He's set us apart for His very own self. Secondly, and He set us apart, and it's going to say this in just a moment in the book of Romans when we go back there. He set us apart to stand before Him without blame. In love. As the object of His love. I want you to get that. He set us apart to be His very own possession. He set us apart to stand before Him without guilt and without blame. And as the object of His love. Now, verse 5, we said that some modern translation puts the phrase "in love" in verse 5, which if that is correct, it says this, "in love having predestinated us." Okay? Now, in God's love, God beforehand gave us a destiny as a believer. And this is what that destiny is in verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." Now, the way that that differs from Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 is that Romans chapter 8, 29 says that the predestination was to be conformed to the image of His Son. But Ephesians chapter 1, the predestination here is referred to as a predestination unto adoption. Sure is quiet around here. Amen? A predestination unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. Okay? Now, look at verse 5 here in Ephesians 1. It says, "This was according to the good pleasure of His will." You know what? I believe that God wanted me and His family. And you know what? I believe that God wanted you in His family. And He before gave a destiny to us to be His adopted children to Himself, His very own possession, all right? And that was according not to your good pleasure, it was according to the good pleasure of His will. Notice what it says here in verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace." And we talked about that a little bit last week. To the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, most of us, a lot of us, and I know it's certainly true of me, it may not be true of you, but I would say, "Well, God, why would You want me? You don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of person that I am, etc., etc., etc." I asked one time, a couple of years ago, I was teaching in class, and I said, "How would you like for all of your thoughts to be manifest right now in this room? Your thoughts in your mind that you think be manifested before everyone here." This one guy, I don't let that happen. And the reason that he came from that direction is because he knew the corruptness of his own heart. All right? Now, I'm saying that in the light of that, God loved you, God chose you, God gave you a destiny. You see, here's something that I think about quite often. And the older you get, the more you'll come to realize that this is true. But you won't realize this as a young person, probably. We're all the same kind of people, folks. We're all the same kind of people. All right? And I'm going to use some deliberate words. There is a craving in us that wants to be loved. And I use purposely the word craving. There is a craving in us. There is a desire in us that wants to be loved. We want to be loved. And we want somebody to esteem us. We want somebody to build us up, esteem us, love us unconditionally. And in the light of all our faults and in the light of all our failures, still put their love upon us. That's what we want. And the majority of us are thinking, I will find that someday in this person that I meet. I will find that somewhere in the world, in a person. I will find that person that will love me that way. Okay? And you know what happens? They find that person, they think they find that person, and then they discover, I didn't find that person. And you know what? They get into a marriage relationship, and after a while they find out, that wasn't the person that loved me that way, that would love me that way, that would love me so unconditionally, that would always esteem me, always put me at the forefront. You know, I didn't find that person. And now I'm so disappointed. And I think the answer to that is to leave this person and then find that person that I missed. Mm-hmm. And so there's a divorce, and then there's then they find that other person. And then they get a relationship with that person, and then they find out, you know what? That's not the person. And so they get rid of that relationship. They get rid of that relationship, and they get into another relationship. And after a while, they say, you know what? That is not it either. That is not the person either. And they go from relationship to relationship to relationship. And that's what the world's doing. And that's what people are doing. And that's what even many Christians are doing. You see what I'm saying? And they're trying to satisfy this craving in their heart to be loved. And to be loved unconditionally, and to be valued, and to have kind words spoken to them. They want that. I want that. We all want that. You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something. We are looking for it in the wrong place. And in the wrong places. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's only one person that can do that for us. And His name is love. See, 1 John 4:7-8 says, and God is love. See, only love Himself can give that kind of love. See, there's no one in this world that has that name, that has that title. God is love. It didn't say God has love, God has this, God has that. It says God is love. You see? And so we've searched the world over, and we give ourselves to many, many relationships trying to find this. And you know what? I told my wife a while back, I said, when I married you, I worshiped you. I worshiped you. And in a sense, you were my God. I worshiped you. I put you on this pedestal. But you know what? I came to discover that the love that I was looking for from my wife, I couldn't get. And you know what? It didn't matter what woman it was. Now the devil could tell me, no, you need to get rid of that woman, get you another woman, and she would be that to you. But I'm telling you what, that's a lie too. Amen. And that next relationship would be a lie too, and it'd be a lie and lie until you come to the end of yourself, like the end of Solomon, with all of his many women and all of the things, and everything was vanity and vexation. And if you read Proverbs, he says, what a fool I was, yet being a wise man. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying we are desiring. We are desiring, but not just us, but the entire world is all after the same thing. They're after the same thing. They want love. They crave to be loved. They desire to be loved. And they're looking for it, and it's like a puff of smoke that vanishes from them. It won't happen, folks. It's not going to happen. All right? There's only one that can give us that, and that is God Himself. because He is love. And in the light of your imperfection, and in the light of your sin, and in the light of whatever it is that you've done, He predetermines and preordains to set His love upon you. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. And what Romans 8 says is not even nothing is going to separate you or sever you from it. And there's nothing you can do about it. Even if you don't believe it, it's still the truth. And when this dawns on you, when this dawns on you in reality, in your heart, then there's only one response, and that is to praise Him for His grace. Okay? And that's what Ephesians 1:6 is saying. It's saying to the praise of the glory of His grace. I'm praising Him for setting His love upon a vile one like I. You see, I'm praising Him for His goodness and His kindness and His kind intention. And you know what? It says right here, verse 11 of Ephesians 1, if you're in Ephesians 1 with me, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, He did this after the counsel of His own will. Okay? Now, did you choose Him? Yes. Did He choose you? Yes. But I'm telling you this, that you wouldn't have chosen Him on your own unless He enabled you to do so. Okay? Think about that a little bit. We'll talk about that later. All right? Verse 6 again in Ephesians 1, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's in Christ. I just want to say this. You are not rejected. You are accepted. And your acceptance is not because you've done anything to make you accepted. Your acceptance is in the Beloved One. Now let me explain what I mean by that. You ever read those scriptures in the Bible that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and any man hath not the Son, he hath not life. In Romans 8, 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And we tell people, ask Jesus into your heart. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, it's not I, but it's Christ living in me. And all those kind of things. Does the Bible teach the indwelling of Christ? Yes. But did you know for every one verse that talks about Him dwelling in you, there's about five verses to talk about you being in Him. Hello? You being in Him. Now, the reason that we can't receive all of this acceptance and all this love is because we're still thinking about the things that we've done. or I don't read the Bible enough. Even if you're not out living in sin, you're still thinking, well, I haven't read the Bible enough, I hadn't prayed enough, I hadn't had my devotions, I haven't done a lot of these things. And so we're still thinking about us, things that we do. And so therefore we can't receive His love. Okay? But what the Scriptures here says, here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, that I have total acceptance, no rejection, and that I stand before Him set apart, blameless, and the object of His love with total acceptance. Because my acceptance is in the Beloved One. I'm in Christ. Let me say it this way. God accepts you to the very same measure that He accepts His Son. That's how He accepts you. He accepts you to the very same measure. See, you don't have any problem thinking, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You don't have any problem thinking about, God is pleased with Jesus. But you see, this is saying that God accepts us. He loves us. We're without blame before Him. We're the object of His love. We stand without blame. All of these things, total acceptance in the Beloved One. He accepts me this very same way that He accepts His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now look at Romans chapter 8. Let's go back there. Well, I think this is great. It says verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, to those that He gave a destiny to. And you know what? That's you. Can you receive that? Them He also called. Those are the ones that He invited to Himself. And whom He called or invited to Himself, them He also justified. Now I want you to see this. Verse 30 says, He predestinated, He called, He justified, He glorified. Okay? For whom He did predestinate, give a destiny to, those are ones He called, invited to belong to Him, and those He called and invited to belong to Him, them He also justified, declared right, declared righteous, declared no blame, declared to be totally accepted. God set His love upon you, called you to Himself, and then made you right before Him. He made you right before Him. He declared you right before Him. You didn't make yourself right before Him. You didn't do enough things to be right before Him. You didn't keep enough commandments to be right before Him. You didn't do enough righteous works to be right before Him. He justified. He declared you right before Him. And you can crawl right up on His lap and say, and by the way, Daddy, and by the way, Daddy, you know what? I have a problem with this or this or that or that. And He says, all right, I'll take care of it. You know what I'm saying? Who would dare call God Almighty Daddy? Under the old covenant. There's no way it could happen. Amen? Now look at this. And that's not all. And then it says then them He also justified. He did that. And whom He justified, it says, them He also glorified. What is God's predetermined plan for you? Glorification. Glorification. To share His glory. To be full of His glory. To make you glorious. To make you like Christ in all of His glory. Now keep your hand right there, Romans 8:30. I'll show you a few of these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at that. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 13 and 14. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of God, beloved of the Lord." You know what beloved means? It really means the object of His love. God loves the world, but let me tell you something. You are the object of His love. There's a difference than God loving the world and you being the very object of His love. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, through being set apart by the Spirit, and belief of the truth. Whereunto, verse 14, He called you by the gospel, or by our gospel. Now listen what He called you to by our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get that. That's what Romans 8:30 says. Those that He justified, them also He glorified. His call through the gospel is here that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To receive the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have a manifestation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the glory that He has, you might have. He is the first of many in this family that are just like Him. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's, for those chosen ones, for their sake, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You're not going to have a Mount of Transfiguration experience where glory of God is going to appear upon you momentarily. But He's called you to the gospel to obtain, it says here, eternal glory. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 now. And in verse 31, the question is this. What shall we then say to these things? What are we going to say to these wonderful, glorious truths? What are we going to say to these wonderful things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the question. And in that question implies the answer. If God be for us, nobody, no thing, no person, no devil, no principality, nothing can be against us and prevail. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son. The word spare means to exempt from something. God didn't even exempt his son from the suffering of death on the cross. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, delivered him into the hands of others for us all. How shall he not with Jesus also freely give us? The word freely means do it as a favor, do it as his, through his kindness, through his benevolence, as a gracious act. How shall he not freely give us all things? You see, God is going to give us all things along with Jesus. He gave it to Jesus, and he's going to give it. If he didn't spare Jesus, but delivered Jesus up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us everything? Do you know what eternity is going to be like? It's going to be like God bestowing on us gifts, everything. I don't know what all that implies. Look at this, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. Who shall lay any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who is going to lay any charge against those whom God has chosen? Notice it again. Verse 33, it is God that justifies. God is the one. You know, I could say it like this. Could anyone accuse those that God has chosen when God acquits them? Oh, God, you don't know what I've done. You don't know. God's not going to condemn you. You know why? Because he's the one that justified you. Look at the next verse. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemns or brings judgment, will bring a judgment against the believer? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There's two things that have struck me in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39 that I just keep thinking about over and over and over. And those two things are this. Number one, God's not going to lay anything to my account, and God's not going to condemn me. Why? Because he is the one that justified me. If God justified J.D., oh God, please, please. He declared him totally right and totally righteous, and then he begs and pleads for God. God, please, don't understand. He said, well, I already did that for you. I justified you. I declared you right. There's two things here that I see. Number one, God will never condemn me, and the reason that he'll never condemn me is because he's the one that justified me. Number two, Jesus Christ will never condemn me. Jesus Christ will never bring a charge against me because he's the one that laid down his life and died for me so that no one could ever accuse me. That's what it says here. Christ died for me. He's at the right hand of God. He bore the judgment of my sins upon him. He makes intercession. He speaks only favorably about me. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that is, shall troubles, listen to me, shall troubles separate me from the love of Christ? The answer is no. Well, what about distress? Oh, I'm distressed. I'm having this mental anguish. I'm having so many problems. Will that separate you from the love of Christ? The answer is no. Well, what about persecution? Everybody's coming against me. God, you must... Will that separate you from the love of Christ? No. Well, I don't even have enough food to eat. I don't have anything in my home, even in the cabinets. Nothing to eat. Will that separate you from the love of Christ? No. Well, I don't even have enough clothes to put on my back. Will that separate you from the love of Christ? No. What about peril? What about peril? That is danger. You don't know the danger I'm facing right now. Will that separate you from the love of Christ? The answer is no. What about sword, which means the possibility of death or war? Will that separate you from the love of Christ? The answer is no. Now let me ask you something. If any of us experience any of these things, we have the tendency to think, God doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't understand. There's nothing for me to eat. He doesn't understand. I can't pay my bills. He doesn't understand here. The mental anguish and depression I'm facing. I know God doesn't love me. Every one of these things that we accuse God of not loving us, Paul says, put it side by side with the love of Christ. Can any of those things keep you from the love of Christ? The answer is no, 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 and no. Look at the next verse, verse 36. As it is written, a quotation now from Psalms 44, verse 22, for thy sake we're killed all day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul is saying, we will suffer persecution as in righteousness. I mean, that's a fact. And because we belong to the Lord and the devil can't do anything about it, there'll be persecution against us for that very fact alone. Now, verse 37. Give me a couple of minutes here, if you would, because the bell's going to ring here soon. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How can you say that? How can the Scripture here says I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loves us if I don't have clothes to wear, if I don't have food to eat, if I'm having mental anguish, if I'm having problems, if I'm having persecution, how can you say I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved us if I'm experiencing any of those things? Well, Paul tells us you don't have the right perspective. Hello? You don't have the right perspective. For Paul says here, verse 38, for I am persuaded that death can't separate me from the love of God, that life itself can't separate me from the love of God, that angels can't separate me from the love of God, that principalities or demons can't separate me from the love of God. No power of any government or anything else can separate me from the love of God. Not anything I experience today can separate me from the love of God. Not anything that comes tomorrow can separate me from the love of God. Not the highest height in the universe can I go there and be separated from the love of God. Not the deepest depth in the ocean or in the under the world can I go and be separated from the love of God, nor any creature at all, any created thing in all creation shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, why can he say that I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved us when Paul's sitting in a prison and he's being whipped and he's experiencing shipwreck, he's experiencing being stoned? Because he had an eternal perspective. He said, kill me. He ain't going to separate me from God's love. Nothing I'm experiencing today is going to separate. You can't separate me from God's love. Nothing I experience today is going to do it. And nothing that I experience tomorrow will separate me from His love. And no devil, no how big he is, can enter this room and get before me and God and separate me from His love. No devil is big enough to do it. And no created thing in all of creation, no space guy, E.T., or anybody else. Amen? Not anything. Nothing. You know what? Paul had an eternal perspective. And you know what his eternal perspective was? His eternal perspective was, he gave me a destiny. He called me to himself. Then he made me right with him. And then he puts the very same glory upon me that he puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to enjoy that acceptance and that love for eternity. And there's nothing, nobody can do about it. And there's nothing that nobody can do to stop it. But you know what? Somebody can love you and you don't believe it. Now, in that sense, it's been stopped. It hasn't been stopped. It's just that you haven't believed it. You see, I can love my wife with all my heart, but if she doesn't believe it, it's not going to help her a whole lot until she believes it. This is a powerful passage. Amen. I want you to think about this a while. Amen. So tomorrow we'll get into much more controversy. So have a good day today.